Home is characterized by loving relationships, godly order and government, submission to God's authority. And now we come to consider the whole idea of authority, and when the rubber meets the road, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30. And I used this illustration last time, Deuteronomy chapter 30. Some parent may say, I asked my little Johnny, I asked little Susie to pick up their toys in their room. And little Johnny said, no. And the parent asked the question, well, what do I do now? That's a problem. The first thing I told you that we should do if our children say no to us is to tremble for their souls. To tremble for their souls. Submission and rebellion comes from the heart. And your little Johnny or your little Susie is a rebel by nature. A rebel by nature, just like mom and dad. They were born self-willed, just like their grandparents. And I remind you what Samuel said in 1 Samuel 15:23. He said, rebellion is the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. That's a very sobering passage, thinking about that. He was speaking to King Saul, and Saul said, well, I did this, but you didn't do what God said. And rebellion is like witchcraft. As parents, it's our God-given responsibility not to break our child's will, but to train their will. We don't want Johnny and Susie to be weak-willed. We don't want them to be self-willed. We want them to be, and I coined a new expression, grace-willed. For it is God, here's grace, it's God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. We want our children to be grace-willed so that they choose to do what is good and right. They choose on their own. They choose to do what is good and right. Deuteronomy chapter 30, and what happens in Deuteronomy? Anybody know? There's a rehashing of history, and Moses is writing Deuteronomy to the new generation. He wants them to know what they've been through, what God wants them to do. He re-gives the law in Deuteronomy chapter 5. And they just go through history. And he tells this new generation, Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 11, for this commandment which I command you today is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it down to us, that we may hear it and do it? Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it? The word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. Now, does that ring a bell for anyone? Anybody heard that before in the New Testament? Anyone? Well, he's quoting from Romans chapter... I mean, Paul quotes Moses in Romans chapter 10 regarding the gospel. And in quoting him, he says, this word is very near you in your mouth and in your heart. And then he tells us what the word is. He said, it's the word of faith. And then he says, verse 15, see, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. And in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, his statutes, his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear, and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in to possess. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. I have that on my license plate, my Virginia license plate. Choose life. Choose life. So there's a choice that needs to be made. We all make a choice. Choose life that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life. And I just want to stop right there. He is your life, that you may cling to him, that you may love him. You have a choice. And guess what? These words that were written so long ago by Moses, Paul had them, and he recorded them in Romans chapter 10 for the gospel. Now we have them, and I can say, by the authority of God, you have a choice. You choose life or death, you have that choice. And many of us have already made the choice. Our choice, we choose life. And life comes through faith in Jesus Christ. But the descendants are involved. And we want to choose life so that they also will choose life. That's what parenting is about. So that our children would choose life. I gave you this quotation from H. Clay Trumbull. He's called the father of modern Sunday school movement. Back in 1890, he wrote this book on hints on child training. He said, "Will training is an important element in child training, but will breaking has no part in or place in the training of a child. A child with a broken will is not so well furnished for the struggle of life as a child with only one arm or one leg or one eye. Such a child has no power of strong personality or high achievement in the world. Every child ought to be trained to conform his or her will to the demands of duty, and that is bending his will, not breaking it." So our prayer for our children and those of us who are older, our grandchildren, is that they might be saved and that they might become willing to do God's will for the rest of their lives. That's what our prayer is. And for some of you singles that don't have children yet, I'm praying for you that way too. The world, 1 John 2:17, the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. We're talking about will. And this is very, very important. So we'll pick up on the will in a minute, but some practical advice for parents. Any questions about what I just read, first of all? Very simple, straightforward, right? Choose life or choose death. If you choose life, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will live and be saved. Some practical advice for children, a text that most of us probably have heard many times, Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he shall go. When he is old, he'll not depart from it. And the truth is, everybody trains up their children. We all do. You can't help it. Either train them in God's way, or you train them in the world's way. Either train them to obey, or you train them that it's all right to disobey. Any comments or questions about that? How do you train them to disobey? Some Mommy says to little Susie, "Susie, I want you to pick up your room." Susie says, "No." Mommy says, "I told you to pick up your room." And Susie throws a tantrum. And mommy says, "Okay, I'll do it." So what have you trained your child to do? Throw tantrums. We've got a nation full of tantrum-throwing adults. Do you realize that? What are these rioters and are these people? What is it all about? They were trained to throw tantrums. My advice for training up a child, and I think Mr. Trumbull's advice would also be, start very early. Don't wait till they become teenagers. Start very early. Train them up in the way that you want them to go. The first advice, little children should be given only very limited choices. Toddlers don't need to make a lot of decisions. They really don't. I know that some parents ask them, Johnny or Susie, "What would you like for breakfast this morning, Johnny?" And, "What do you want to wear, Susie?" Well, that's all fine if they're older, but when they're young, they need to learn to submit to their parents' authority and their parents' choices. Show them how good mommy and daddy's choices are. That's what little children need. That's how you train them. Toddlers need to learn to cheerfully accept mommy and daddy's choices for them. We need to give our little ones lots of attention, tender love, and affection, but don't give in to their self-centered tantrums and screams. And the earlier we start to teach our little ones biblical submission, the better it's going to be for them. The earlier. And stop me if you have a question or a complaint or a comment. Second, teach your children moral values at an early age. Train them in the ways of the Lord. Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Our children need to know there's a difference, the big difference between right and wrong. And the big question for all of us is, who or what determines what's right and what's wrong? Who does that? Is it our culture? Is it our government? Is it child psychologists? I'm really serious about this. Who is the one that tells us or gives us a standard of right and wrong? Is it child psychologists? Thank you. Is it your child? Is it the parents? No. Where does right and wrong come from? God. God is the one who sets the standards of right and wrong, good and bad, and in his law and in his word. Any questions about that? Do you all agree to that? If you don't agree, shake your head no. Okay. Third advice. Teach your children that there are always consequences for what we do and say. There's always consequences. Mommy says to 3-year-old Johnny, "Johnny, pick up your toys." And Johnny says no, or he ignores his mother. We're using the same thing because I can't think of another one. What should mommy do? Remember, there are always consequences. And guess what? Not only for the children, for the parents too. Right, parents? Children make a wrong decision, there's consequences. But sometimes, and many times, there's consequences for the loved ones. There's always consequences for our choices in right and wrong, good and bad. So Johnny says no to his mother. What should she do? Well, first, she needs to remember that there's going to be consequences. And this is multiple choice, okay? You come, give me what you think. A, she should do nothing. It's just a stage he's going through. He'll grow out of it. B, ask him again. C, threaten him. Johnny, if you don't pick up your toys, I'm going to tell your father. D, scream at him. E, train him. How many say B? Did you say B?
Yeah, I can tell you that telling my father motivated me. That worked.
Here's the problem with training. I mean, it is a problem. That's why a lot of parents don't do it. Training takes a lot of time. It takes self-denial. It takes consistency. It takes perseverance. You just can't do it one day or 1 year or 2 years. You got to keep on doing it. You got to be consistent all the time. So what does mommy do? Well, mommy needs to take little Johnny by the hand and bring him into the bedroom. Whose bedroom? Her bedroom. Daddy's bedroom. And she tells him very seriously, Johnny, mommy asked you to pick up your toys, and you said a very, very, very bad word. Do you know what word you said? Johnny can't remember. So she says, you said the very bad word, no, to mommy. And when you say no to mommy, that is an evil thing to do. It's a sinful thing to do. You're sinning against God because God said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And mommy told you to do something, and you said no. He said no because he heard it at childcare, or he heard it at the church somewhere from someone, or he heard it on TV or whatever. So you talk to him. God wants you to obey mommy. And when mommy says pick up your toys, you must pick them up. Now there's another choice he's got to make. He either chooses life or death. And that's serious. When you choose sin, you choose death. The wages of sin is death. So you say, now, Johnny, I want you to pick up your toys. And he's got a choice. If he doesn't, then he needs to be disciplined. He needs to be trained. It's absolutely crucial that parents teach their children one of the great axioms of all life, and that is there's always consequences to our choices and our actions. On January 6th, there was a riot in Washington, D.C. And some of the rioters were even policemen. And one of the rioters got killed. She didn't want to get killed. The policemen didn't realize that they're going to find out who you are. There's consequences for your choices. And maybe that was a poor illustration, but there are. There are always consequences for your choices. There's consequences for mom and dad's choices. If we choose to let Johnny, all right, don't worry, Johnny, it's all right. It's not all right. It's going to get worse and worse. And the consequences are going to be on your head. So, there are always consequences. Galatians chapter 6, 7 and 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. There's consequences. What are the consequences? Here are the consequences that we should make our children understand. Johnny, there are two consequences, possible consequences, for making right choices, right decisions, right actions, and wrong decisions and wrong actions. Consequences for right choices and good behavior. Here are the consequences. Appropriate praise, reward, and loving affection. Appropriate praise, reward, and loving affection. Proverbs 20, verse 11, even a child is known by his doings, whether his work is right or whether it's evil. Does God reward his obedient children? Turn over to Psalm 19. Does God reward his obedient children? That's the question, and we'll see the answer in a minute. Psalm 19, we sing this psalm. Psalm 19, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. In other words, God's government, God's authority is really good for us. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Does God reward his obedient children? Absolutely. Matthew chapter 6. I'm just taking two of them, but there's many we could look at. 6, 1 through 4. Jesus' words, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So, Johnny, there's consequences for what you do. If you don't obey Mom, if you obey Mom, there's reward for obeying. There's discipline for disobeying. In fact, consequences for wrong choices and bad behavior, appropriate discipline, and loving affection. Notice I put loving affection in both of them. Appropriate discipline and loving affection. Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 20 through 25. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. I realize this is written for believers, but it's for all of us. It's a good principle. Do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ, but he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. So there's consequences for right decisions, right actions. There's consequences for wrong actions and wrong decisions. And we'll get into that in a minute. Does God discipline his disobedient children? You better believe it. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. I'm sorry, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. Hebrews 12, verse 5. He gives us the example in the first beginning of verse 3 and 4, gives us the example of our Lord Jesus and his suffering. Consider him who endured such hostility from sinners. But then, in verse 5, and you have forgotten the exhortation that speaks to you as to sons, my son. And here he's quoting from Proverbs chapter 3. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we pay them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Does God chasten his children? Does he discipline them? Absolutely, he does. Speaking of David's son, Samuel says, or prophesies in, I'm sorry, it's not Samuel, but the writer of 2 Samuel says, 2 Samuel 7:14, I will be his father. This is the prophecy regarding Solomon, regarding David's son. I will be his father. He shall be my son. If he commits iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the blows of the sons of men. So now we come to the big question. Should parents spank their sinning children? And I said sinning children, okay? And I think it's important. We don't spank our children because I'm angry at them. They spilled their milk. Sometimes children could say, I don't care, and just spill it. Well, then they need to be disciplined. But if they made a mistake, how many times have you spilled the milk or water or whatever you were drinking? We spill. That happens. That's what we do. Some of us more than others. You don't discipline them for that. But should we spank our sinning children? Child psychologists and our modern culture would say, no. But dear ones, I don't care what they say. I really don't care what they say. I care what God says, and I think all of us are the same way. What does God say? What does God say? What does God's word say? And I'm just going to read Proverbs 19:18. Chasten your son while there is hope, and do not set your heart on his destruction. Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, and the rod of correction will drive it far from him. In other words, there's something fundamentally wrong with our children's hearts. Can I pick on your children? These three guys I hear. When they came into this world, and I think when they came to this church, there's some fundamentally wrong with them. They were foolishness was bound up in their hearts. But by the grace of God, he's changed them. There's still a little bit of foolishness in all of our hearts. Right? But we don't want to be fools. We want to do what's right. And it's important that all of us realize we love our children. If you love your children, you'll discipline them because God loves his children and he disciplines them. And the psychologist, the child psychologist will say, no, you'll warp their psyche. You'll hurt them if you do that. And you either believe one or you believe the other. As Christians, we believe God. Thank you, Harry. I know that, and that's one of the issues that we all struggle with. What do? Well, we have to obey God. We just have to obey God. Some parents have obeyed God, and they lost their children. That's happened. And so we need to obey God. We really do need to obey God. We live in a crazy culture, a rebellious culture, and you see that on TV whenever something goes wrong. You know, all that riot and all that stuff. And so we believe what God's word says. Proverbs 6:23, for the commandment is a lamp and the law is light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Proverbs 23:13-14, do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. you shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. Proverbs 29, 15, and 17. The rod, and here, this is one of my favorites. The rod and rebuke give wisdom. But a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Correct your son and he will give you rest. Yes, he will give delight to your soul. Proverbs 13, 24. He who spares his rod hates his son. But he who loves him disciplines him promptly. I had a nice talk with my son, my oldest son, Bubba, last week. We had a couple of nice talks. And I said, Bubba, is there anything that Dad needs to ask for your forgiveness with? I didn't say it that way, but kind of that way. I forget what the words were, but I asked him, I said, is there anything that I may have done in the past that you need to bring it up now? I said, how about, you know, sometimes Mom and Dad were stricter on you and Tracy than we were on the last four. That's because we were new Christians, and we were stricter on you guys. He said, yeah, you were. You were kind of light on Ashley, she said. But he said, Dad, thank you for spanking me. I needed it. I needed it. And I just think this is an important area, really important. And the question is, parents, will you obey God or will you obey the noise of this world? Will you obey God's word or will you obey your own self-centered feelings? Because one of the issues, a couple issues, and Harry brings up one of them, but it's all self-centered, mostly. I don't want to get in trouble. Or, I don't like spanking my children. I don't think anybody likes to spank their children. It's hard. It really is hard. It is hard. It's hard to spank your children. And no, it's about your children, too. So I remember my kids Bubba went to a Christian school, and several times they call me at work and say, your son's misbehaving, we need you to come down here and discipline him at the Christian school. That's what we did in the 1970s. And so Dad was going to be upset when he get there. But see, the problem is you don't want to be upset. You don't want to be angry. There's a way to do it, and the way to do it, and let me just express what I did. I don't think that I was the gold standard at all, maybe the bronze or something, but I realized I get angry, really angry, and so I need to cool down. So I'd send my son or my daughter to my bedroom. They go to my bedroom, and I told them, wait for me there. Why my bedroom? Because if they went to their bedroom, they would play. But if they went to Daddy's bedroom, they knew it was serious stuff. Now let me pick on Ashley because her husband is here. So I say, Ashley, go to my room. And she'd go. Or my son Bubba would go. And sometimes I'd be angry. I may be frustrated inside. And then Maureen would have to say, honey, you told Benji to go to the room a half an hour ago. He's still waiting for you. Or Ashley's still waiting for you. Well, what are they doing while they're waiting? Thinking. They're thinking about what happened, what's going on. So I finally, and sometimes I forgot about them, and then I go in there, and now there's no anger. I've prayed, Lord, help me to know what to say. And then I go in there, and I'll pick on Ashley. So I say, sweetheart, you didn't obey your mom. And then I take my Bible out and I show her where the scripture says, here's what you're to do. Obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Or you lied to your mother. Here's what the Bible says about liars. All liars will go into the lake of fire. We don't want you to go there. You sinned against your mom and you sinned against the Lord. And then I'd say, do you understand? And Ashley would say, yes, Daddy. And I said, what do I have to do? She said, you have to spank me, Daddy. Well, there's tears coming down my eyes already, you know, thinking about that. She's crying, I'm crying. What do? Turn over on the bed, and she submits to the spanking. She doesn't throw a fit. She just realizes, Dad loves me, and I did wrong, and I understand. And then I pray first, and then I would give her one medium size, because my heart is breaking already. It's just so hard. So and then she'd turn around, and then I say, let's pray again, and we pray, and then I'd say, let's wrestle, and we wrestle, you know. And I'm serious, that's what we did. I didn't do it with the boys so much, but I did it with Ashley. We just wrestled. I just think, and you know what? That takes time. And we're too lazy. We've got too many things going on. We're too busy. And it hurts me to discipline my child. It's better for me just to shut the door and forget about it and leave them to themselves. You leave them to themselves, and you're going to be in trouble. Bad decisions, bad choices have consequences for parents and for children. Any questions or comments?
We had a tool that we used to use with the kids, and Angela would use it now. We've shared with a number of the parents here. That kind of brought a lot of this together, helped to show the consequences of actions, and also keep us from reacting in anger to things that weren't necessarily sin. And it was a chart that showed the scriptural references for disobedience, the different categories and the scriptures that go along with them. And then we would decide, you know, what was the discipline that was appropriate for each of those actions.
Yeah.
And it helped take that anger and that decision making out of the mix in the heat of the moment.
Yeah.
So that, you know, when they lied, you know, that was two spankings. Or if they did this, you know, that was a loss of privilege. So all of that was defined ahead of time so that we could take the kids to the chart and say, okay, Now that this is done, you know, here's what you've done, here's the scripture that goes behind that, here's the punishment that we've all agreed to ahead of time.
Yep.
And it takes a lot of that emotion out of it, but it also shows that there are consequences. And we had another chart that we called it the blessing chart. It was the opposite of that.
Yep.
When we noticed they would do something right, they got a predefined sort of... So it was a really good tool because I, like you, would tend to react to the heat of anger rather than discipline properly.
That's wonderful. That's a good idea. I mean, and there has to be consequences. And they have to be painful consequences. Painful for both mom and dad and the child. They have to be painful. Because we don't want them to repeat those things. We don't want them to keep on lying. We don't want them. And the lying is a big issue. And it's a difficult issue. It's difficult because you want them to tell the truth. And the tendency when you're in trouble is to lie. So when they tell you the truth, and they say, well, I lied, and then there's a reward for that. There's reward for telling the truth. So it's not easy. It's complicated. It's hard. No one said that raising children is going to be easy. It's not easy. It's very, very difficult. It's the hardest job in the world. It's right under being a Navy SEAL. It's really hard. Ted Tripp says this, what is the rod? Listen to the words. The rod is a parent in faith toward God and faithfulness toward his or her children, undertaking the responsibility of careful, timely, measured and controlled use of physical discipline to underscore the importance of obeying God, thus rescuing the child from continuing in his foolishness unto death. The use of the rod is an act of faith. I like this. God has mandated its use. The parent obeys, not because he or she perfectly understands how it works, but because God has commanded it. The use of the rod is a profound expression of confidence in God's wisdom and the excellency of his counsel. Did you hear that? Now, did you read it too? Third, the rod is a rescue mission. The child who needs a spanking has become distanced from his or her parents through disobedience. The spanking is designed to rescue the child from continuing in his or her foolishness. If he continues, his doom is certain. Thus the parents, driven by love for the child, must use the rod. And it's not easy. It's very, very difficult. And we all fail. I think it's important to talk to your children and realize what you need to do. Let me say some other things and we'll close. Spanking is not just a quick slap on the bottom. To be effective, spanking has to be an event that the child remembers and learns from. Spanking is also means to bring about forgiveness and restoration. So after it's done, then you hug the child, you kiss the child, you pray with the child, and then, in my case, you wrestle with the child. You know, to let them know, Dad's not angry at you anymore. He's not angry, and neither is God, because we've done what we're supposed to do. Daddy obeyed God, and you're to obey Daddy. And we've restored our relationship. Let the child know, well, spank immediately whenever possible. Sometimes it's not possible. Spank privately. Let the child know that while he or she is being spanked, what they did, what God has commanded them to do, that you love them, and that you need to obey, and they need to obey. One of the things that we had in Miami, it was called a whacker. It was about this long. It was a leather thing that we got from the Dominican Republic, and we had a lot of Dominicans in our church, and it's called a rack whacker. How many have seen it? Yeah. And it doesn't leave marks, and it's effective. And it's not, you don't beat your child, but it stings. And they know there's consequences, and it hurts. And the child must submit to the spanking. No kicking or placing the hands over the bottom should be allowed. If they cooperate, if they don't cooperate, that's another spankable offense. If your child gets hysterical, and sometimes that's happened, then you just stop. And then you encourage the child, and you love on the child, and you explain to the child what's going on, and you explain to them how you need to obey God, how they need to obey God. And then now are you ready to receive your... But they don't get out of the spanking. Otherwise, they're training your parents to throw a fit, so you have to... And it works. It'll work. Don't let children escape a spanking because they pitch a fit. Any comments or questions? I think I'm over time. Any comments or questions? If you have some, write them down, because we have one more lesson. Write them down and we'll try to address them, okay? And Harry's comments over there, Harry, don't do that anymore. But it's true. It's true. And parents, think about that. Yeah. Dennis.
I can remember when I was in school, though, that the teacher spanked me.
Yeah.